Give a little time for the child within you. Don't be afraid to be young and free. Undo the locks and throw away the keys and take off your shoes and socks and run you.
I'm Jesse Thorne, America's radio sweetheart.
And I'm Jordan Morris, boy detective.
And this is
Jordan,
Jesse, go!
Icicles, tricycles, ice cream, candy, lollipops, popsicles, licorice sticks, Solomon, Grundy, Raggedy Andy, Tweedledum and Tweedledee, home free.
This week on Jordan, Jesse, Go, we're joined by the hilarious Ian Edwards, and we talk about our moms dating, and of course, Ska Church. Let's go. It's Jordan, Jesse, Go. I am Jesse Thorne, America's radio sweetheart.
Jordan Morris, boy detective.
Oh my gosh, it is a beautiful day in Southern California.
A beautiful Easter.
It is.
A beautiful Easter Sunday.
Absolutely.
Sorry to get all preachy. I know. And I know we have the, you know, we usually keep it secular here on Jordan, Jesse, Go. But I just want to come out and say, it's Easter.
Whoa, don't get all 700 Club on me
Easter
here, Jordan.
Exists.
Jordan, please.
Yeah.
Do not get all.
Sorry, I just had Easter brunch with my family, so I'm feeling festive.
Did you say that your mother's fiance plays the trombone in a church band?
He does, yes.
That is a really cool instrument to play in a church band.
It's fantastic. Yeah, he's great at it. Looks good up there. Good posture.
I like that. Can I ask you a quick question about playing the trombone in the church band?
I don't know a lot about it. Okay. I basically told you everything I know about it.
I'll just
sure.
ask you based
is
on
this
what you
a spit valve question.
No, it isn't. It's just a quick question based on what you know so far. I don't know if you've been to see him play trombone in the church band. Does he wear a suit or a party shirt?
A suit.
I love it.
Looks good up there.
God bless him.
The party, yeah. He reserves the party shirts for, party time.
This Brad is great. I'm really happy that your mom's happy and that Brad's happy.
Yeah. I mean, we had our traditional, the traditional Easter brunch we have every year.
Hard-boiled eggs and, of course,
yes.
rabbit.
So a game rabbit that my mom shot.
Yeah.
We had ham, we had potato salad, and we talked about the difference between the Hunger Game books and movies, which is something we do every year, but this year was the first year it made sense.
Our guest laughing contemptuously at Jordan's traditional Easter brunch. He's a stand-up comedian and writer, Ian Edwards. How you doing, pal?
What's up, man? How y'all doing?
Doing
just,
good.
I'm just enjoying the banter and listening to the difference between my life and yours. And it's huge.
You did not have ham for Easter brunch.
Nah, not today.
Your mother's husband-to-be, what instrument does he play in the church band in Orange County?
No, she has to find one first.
Uh-huh.
And then maybe we'll figure out the instrument later.
Has she gotten on the internet yet?
No, my mom doesn't use a computer.
Yeah, that's...
It's old-fashioned.
Sure.
Yeah.
Do you think we could get her on a typewriter, type something up, send it in, Match.com.
Yeah, she could probably do that.
Do you think Match.com offers a service for people who only use typewriters?
Well, I think maybe they should start a Telegram service. They're like, I'm a single lady. Stop.
She's not that old.
No games. Stop.
She's seen a computer. She's just never touched one. That's all.
Right.
She's just never logged online.
She's concerned they may have Legionnaire's disease.
Yeah. She doesn't have a password. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
I like movies and hate fake people. Stop.
It's hilarious.
Do you think that your mom, Jordan, could set my mom up on some dates, on some double dates with some of Brad's friends? I couldn't even finish that
sentence. If your mom wants to commute...
I should explain for the listener that Jordan's mom and my mom, while both wonderful people, are very different.
Sure. Comically, even. It would be a comic pairing.
Your mom's into bad boys, not trombone players.
To be fair, the trombone player is usually the bad boy of the church band.
I don't know. I don't think the trombone is the bad boy of any band. That's like the softest instrument ever.
Yeah. I really like the last... I don't know even know how we could describe, how we could even begin to describe the difference between your mom and my mom, Jordan. Your mom...
I mean, other than race, it's total.
Well, gender.
Gender? Yeah, no, there
there's
is
also gender.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, your mom is... Is your mom originally from Texas, or is that your dad?
Tennessee. Or, I'm sorry, Louisiana.
Louisiana.
My dad is from Tennessee. My mom's from Louisiana.
My mom's from Washington, D.C. So that's not, I mean,
she was a part of that original hardcore scene up there.
Yes. My mom is Ian MacKay. We should explain
right.
My
from
mom
Minor
is
Threat.
Ian MacKay from Fugazi. But, here's the thing. My mom's last real boyfriend that I was made aware of.
Henry Rollins.
Was called Dad.
His name.
Meet my new boyfriend, your dad.
Oh, man. If my mom started dating my dad, that would be a disaster of such epic proportions, Ian. Man. I cannot even begin to tell you. Like, I would have to... If I got a telephone call right now from either my mom or my dad that said, now, we have to take my stepmother out of the picture here. But if we assume that my father was not married to my stepmother, if I got a call from my mom or my dad that said, even I'm thinking about dating your mother, or I'm thinking about dating your father, that would be a situation so dire that I would literally buy a plane ticket to San Francisco, where I'm from, to fucking do some last 10 minutes of a romantic comedy level shit to keep it from happening. To get between the two of them.
You'd play the bad guy in the love triangle.
I would do anything.
Wow, are you prepared to prevent
your love.
Mom?
I would go to a sporting goods store and buy buckshot.
So lit. I mean, why? What happened the first time they got together besides you?
Yeah, that, I mean...
Maybe some brothers and sisters, I don't know.
If you count me as good, then that's the only good thing that came of my parents' marriage.
And I'm not confirming that I'm counting you as good. So.
Well, you haven't known me that long.
Yeah, reserve judgment.
Yeah,
I've often been described as bad.
As bad? You?
Yeah.
He's known as the bad boy of podcasting.
Yeah.
The bad boy of Orange County podcasting.
Yeah, I think the bad boy of podcasting is along the lines of the bad boy in the church choir. I think those are two comparable bad boys.
Cyber bad boy.
I think here's from what I've been able, and here's the thing. My parents divorced when I was like 3 years old. What I know about them, what I know about their relationship only comes from, they would not talk about it most of the time.
Right.
So most of what I know about it only comes from when they were so angry that they would say something horrible about the other person.
Oh, okay.
Right? So maybe there was...
That's funny. It's just like, it was a fragments of anger.
Just the
to
worst
piece together to make a
just the worst, like, well, at least I'm not a drug dealer. Wait, what do you mean? At least I'm not a, like your mother. What?
Like
what?
Your mother.
Like my mom? just that level of shit. But I mean, the kind of, like, basically the picture that I have of their relationship is essentially this. They met either at church or a bar. I'm not sure. One or the other.
Church keeps coming around in this circle.
Yeah, so right they... I think they... One or the other, these two
Have
things.
You heard the good news, Ian? That's kind of what we're getting at.
We mentioned that this is an evangelical podcast.
Holy shit.
we're saving souls one guest at a time. We actually do not put this podcast on the internet. We just invite comedians in because we think they're lost souls. So
that's true. Yeah, they are the church damaged people.
A lot of comedians are.
Sure.
So it's actually a tragedy that this is not what you're pretending should be.
I think you might have a point. Are you willing to kind of switch gears here?
Yeah.
You mean from atheism to monotheism?
Well, I mean to aggressive monotheism.
You mean to believing in God?
Into warp five. Yeah.
I mean, not just... I mean, you know, Jesse, what we believe or don't believe, I think, is irrelevant. I think, you know...
We're trying to save people's lives.
At the end of the day, this isn't about us.
These men and women are broken.
Right.
They need direction in their lives.
You know what? I think the bad boy of podcast is right.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Thanks. Thanks.
You know, I couldn't. I was so distracted by his neck tattoos, and so this is the picture that I have of my parents' marriage that is pieced together from a couple of vague memories, maybe a couple of photographs that weren't burned, and a couple of like vague mentions here and there.
It's hilarious.
They were both drunk.
Man.
They met either at a bar or at church. they both wanted to have children.
Right.
My father was an alcoholic and my mother was possibly an alcoholic, certainly a heavy drinker.
It's like the days of Wine and Roses.
Yeah. and then maybe my mom tricked my dad into impregnating her, but my dad wanted to have a kid.
So it wasn't that much of a trick.
So I don't know to what extent they were in love with each other. I've never heard them say something I've never heard one of them say, I was so in love with your father. I was so in love with your mother before everything went wrong.
Right.
So maybe they were in love with each other. I don't know.
I'm going to go with no.
Okay. It seems it seems like the safe call.
Yeah, yeah.
And then they had a few years of drunk acrimony. My mother got sober because...
And that's where the problem came.
My mother realized that drinking was a migraine trigger for her. Mm-hmm. Stop drinking. My parents divorced. My father got sober. And they've been excellent parents to me ever since. Mm-hmm. They're wonderful parents. But they hate each other's guts.
So lack of alcohol ruined their relationship.
I think they're...
But it made them excellent parents.
I mean, I'm gonna tell you, Ian. I think that their relationship had some deep fundamental flaws.
Oh yeah, they're it's foundational.
Yeah, exactly. I think that the presence and lack of alcohol. I mean, it added color to the dysfunction in their relationship. I think it made things more flavorful, if you will.
Yeah, a little tipsy.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. And sort of, it made things fun.
Right.
You know. It may have made their relationship better. I think you may be right. I think you may be right.
As soon as they stop drinking, I blame you. The root of the evil is like the migraine.
Right.
If your mother didn't realize that this was a trigger.
Right.
You'd be badly raised.
But my parents would
drunk parents.
But my parents would still be together, and that's what's important. Yeah, that's you got to have two parents in the household, yeah, Jordan.
Absolutely.
If we learned anything.
That comedians need religion.
Yeah, right. Number one.
And that two drunk parents.
Even if
coming
drunk.
Soon to CBS.
Two drunk parents.
Yeah. Drunk parents. Is that a collaboration between Whitney Cummings and the people behind Two and a Half Men?
Yes. No, it, yeah. No, it's, finally, those guys got together.
So it's by the people from the Bitchin' Apartment 2B. Is that what it is? 2B.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I'm glad that we've...
It's kind of a super group of situation comedies. You got Whitney Cummings. You got the bitch from Apartment 23. You got John Cryer. Put them together in a room. See what they come up with. It's two drunk parents.
But I want my... I would love for
two
my mom
half,
to have...
Two and a half drunk parents.
Oh, I like that.
Like that?
That's
like
it exists in the same universe as Two and a Half Men. So maybe, you know... Little Fatso can make a cameo if they're having problems in the ratings.
I tried to...
That's his name, right? Little Fatso?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure his name is Little Fatso.
Yeah.
You're talking about the kid that's on Two and a Half Men and is also the drummer in Van Halen?
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. I have often thought it would be nice if my mom had a nice boyfriend.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, my mom is a wonderful, amazing woman with many close friends that are like family, but... I always thought it would be great if she had a nice boyfriend that hung around.
That hung around.
Well, you know.
So did she have some before that didn't?
No, I mean, I think she had
the old drummer from Van Halen. So he'd come to town, they'd have a wild night.
She had boyfriends when I was a kid that I think she never presented to me as her boyfriend, I think, for those just sort friends. Of... Yeah, and she had so... She's always had close, very close friends in her life and lots of... including lots of male friends. And so...
She's doing one of them. She just never told you.
Yeah, and so I didn't know who was her boyfriend and who wasn't, I think. You know, I mean, I just never really tried to figure it out.
The shell game with dudes with you.
Yeah.
So if you tried to guess, yeah, that's a boyfriend. Nah, that's not. That's a friend.
Exactly. That's exactly what was going on, Ian. Yeah, you got it.
Your mom is smooth. She's a player.
Yeah, that's the difference between my mom and Jordan's
mom.
She should
trick you out of your money.
Yeah.
You're like, find the boyfriend. Find the boyfriend. Yeah, find which the one's boyfriend. The boyfriend?
Yeah, and so, yeah, I mean, it wasn't until I didn't know about someone that my mom was dating as her boyfriend until... She had a boyfriend that when I was in college.
Yeah, like when you were out the picture.
When I was gone. Yeah, when I was totally...
Like finally you could come over and spend the night.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Totally. Exactly. And in contrast to Jordan's mom's boyfriend is a super nice guy that she met on eHarmony.
Is that
where
she met him?
Yeah. Yeah, definitely out of her comfort zone too. I mean, she also is, you know, barely uses a computer. So I was definitely impressed to hear that she was doing that.
Yeah,
I bet my sister was helping her.
And your sister was helping.
Yeah, yeah,
it's hilarious.
My mom's boyfriend Reggie was 15 years older than her. And had been a Black Panther and had written the definitive history of the Black Panthers. A panther is a black cat.
Reggie the white dude?
No, no.
He's a black dude?
Yeah, he was a black dude.
So when you came home from college,
yeah,
there's a black dude in your mom's house.
A 75-year-old black dude.
Jesus.
Or a 75-year-old black dude, because my mom was about 60 then. Yeah. Yeah, he's a good dude, too. I mean, he never lived in my mom's house. I mean, they had an intense but casual relationship,
right.
Which is something weird
so
to say about my mom.
Intensely pleasant. You want to go to a movie or do you want to stay in? I can do whatever. I like that idea of the intense casual relationship.
What? You know what? Scrap 2.5 drunk parents.
Yeah.
Yep.
We're going to go with Reggie, the Black Panther stepfather.
Yeah.
That's,
but, and, but the thing is
you know, let's just shorten it. Yo stepdad.
Yo stepdad. But is a panther.
Right. Yeah.
Yo stepdad.
The reality, but the reality of this, what you don't know about the situation, Ian.
There's a
well,
lot
that was
I don't
really
know about the situation.
It was super awkward for you at the time because you were in the Klan.
Yeah, I was at the time. I was.
No, he was a skinhead.
Straight skinhead.
Straight skinhead. Just come home from college. Bald-headed. Mom, I got something to tell you.
Yeah.
She's like, I got something to tell you.
I've learned a lot about my culture. Right. You know, my people's history. What you don't know about my mom's relationship with Reggie is that while Reggie had been a Panther leader and et cetera, like my mom was definitely the intenser of the two. Like Reggie was definitely the laid back one of the two of them, and so like that ultimately like. Ultimately, the question in finding my mom someone to, and you know this as someone who's met my mom, like ultimately the question in finding my mom someone to share her life with would be someone that is, it would have to be someone that is interesting enough to keep her engaged,
right,
but also almost catatonically chill.
Right.
And that is a difficult situation. It has to be one of those people.
But you're basing this model off Reggie. Because it worked.
Well,
Jesse, you realize you just described Emo Phillips.
Now, if my mom was
single,
if my mom was dating, how awesome would it be if your mom married Emo Phillips?
Emo's white, so it wouldn't work.
Oh yeah, sure.
Well, my dad's white. It happened once,
but we already know
it could happen again.
From prior conversation, that was a mistake.
That's true.
It probably wasn't true. It probably wasn't his alcoholism that broke up, or you know. the hard times he had because of his military service. I bet it was his race.
His race.
Yeah. I mean, my mom has...
I like your mom.
From what I understand of my mom's romantic background, it has been a real rainbow coalition. Mm. By that, I mean...
A lot of Asian dudes.
By that, I mean that she has fucked the shit out of Jesse Jackson. The Reverend Jesse Jackson has gotten it so good. Okay, we'll
be
back.
Do you think your mom could get a show on MSNBC?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, they're just giving them out.
Yeah, you can.
They're just giving them out.
You have to hang around. Just have to hang around outside MSNBC long enough.
Yeah. We'll be back in just a second on Jordan Jesse Go. It's Jordan Jesse Go. I'm Jesse Thorne, America's radio sweetheart.
Jordan Morris, bad boy of podcasting.
Yeah, and I'm Ian Edwards, just sitting here trying to find a trombone player.
Everybody needs their trombone player. You know why? Because at the end of the day, we all got to clean out our spit valves once in a while. Am I right?
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
You know what I'm talking about.
That's right.
Exactly.
Yeah.
We all need to add a little brass to those hymns.
Yeah, sure.
You know what I'm talking about, guys.
Yeah, I feel your players.
Hymns need to be more brassy.
Jordan, does your would-be stepfather go to a ska church?
He does, yes. It's him and...
Is that a ska church? Hilarious.
Yeah, when I said he wears a suit, he wears it with slip-on Vans.
skinny tie
and rainbow suspenders.
Is your would-be stepfather in Real Big Fish?
He is. I didn't want to, like, brag, because I know, you know. Because, like, whenever, you know, if somebody, like, knows a celebrity, sure. You know, I don't want to be a name dropper.
Yeah. You didn't want a ska drop?
I didn't want a ska drop, no.
I feel you.
If only you could write a letter to 13-year-old Jordan right now.
Mm-hmm. Your stepdad will be in Real Big Fish, and the Aquabats will have a TV show in 2012. The Aquabats totally have a TV show.
Yeah, they do. I know. Our producer, Julia's boyfriends and girlfriends with a former Aquabat who works on that television program. They live together in the same house.
Past guest Brandon Bird did a little of the art for it.
Yeah.
He designed some of their monsters.
And he's, in fact, he just did production design on a new television program that many of the same people that worked on that Yo Gabba Gabba Aquabats television program,
Do you think, like, after the Aquabats TV show got announced, like, the guys from Mustard Plug, like, started calling each other? Like, okay, we need to get our pitch together.
I don't know what Mustard Plug is, but I'm going to say yes.
Yeah. You can infer what...
You went beyond knowledge.
Do you know what you think Mustard Plug is?
Yes.
That's what it is.
Okay,
it's great.
And I have no idea.
This is what it's like if I start talking about, like, San Quinn or something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Well, I mean, I think I don't. I think
prison?
The difference.
No, the San Francisco rapper.
Oh.
He's named after the prison.
Oh, okay.
I think to be fair, what Mustard Plug is doesn't require much description beyond they're a ska band and their name is Mustard Plug.
Right, sort of like Bullies with Fullies.
You know? Yeah. Yes. You know what? Yes.
No,
yes.
Exactly.
Absolutely.
It doesn't require much explanation other than that they're a hip hop group from San Francisco and their name is Bullies with Fullies.
Wow.
I've pieced together the rest. Together the rest.
It rhymes. It rhymes.
What's the group made a part of?
Wait.
The members.
It's a super group. It's I want to say
Fully
it's,
is short for full erection, right? Because they perform full erections.
I'm trying to think of who it is. It's
Bullies with Fullies does sound like a porn site.
Maybe like a really tough gay porn site.
Yeah.
Like a real, like...
But it's like dancing beer.
Like real tough gay guys. But.
They were out like...
What's Dancing Bear?
They were out...
I'll tell
like,
you after.
Okay.
It's Messy Marv is one of them.
Messy Marv,
a.k.a. your boy Young Mess, and another dude who's friends with Messy Marv. I'm typing it into the internet. Goose is the other dude.
Oh, Goose is the other dude.
Yeah, the other dude is named Goose. I don't know anything about the other dude, but Messy Marv is a San Francisco hip hop legend. Bullies with Fullies.
Sound like PG rapper names.
They're not PG rappers.
Word.
Ian.
They have like the funnest rapper names ever.
Well, I mean, and when you say, the thing is like, if you're Messy Marv, and you're like, look, I got a pretty fun rap name.
Right.
But then you're like, how could I kick this up a notch? Well, the Boy Boy Young Mess is how you're going to kick it up a notch.
The Boy Boy Young Mess.
Yeah.
I mean, Messy Marv, there's no difference between Messy Marv and Grover from Sesame Street. Like, I could see Messy Marv
right,
in a trash can right next to him.
To be fair, these rappers are all made of felt, right? And they're voiced by Frank Oz.
I would really enjoy an episode of Sesame Street where they went to Hunters Point in San Francisco. They just take that 15th 3rd Street down to HP. And they just, you know, they hit up Sunnyside. They check out, they build with some of those dudes. They hang out with Sam Quinn. Yeah. You know.
Sam Quinn. And yeah, what's the other dudes?
Well, Messy Marv and Goose.
And Goose. Yeah, Goose. Yeah, Goose is like...
Big Rich. They get Big Rich in there.
Big Rich. They can Big hang Mitch out with Big Bird.
Yeah, Big Rich is from the Filmo, of course. He's not from... Yeah. Well,
oh, shit.
Come on, Ian.
Yeah, you're right.
Get your head on straight.
I gotta get my shit together. My bad.
Come on. You're a guest on our show, Ian. I don't need to tell you this.
You're right.
You got to know who Mustard Plug is. You got to know that other stuff.
Mustard Plug sounds like another pornographic thing.
Yeah.
Everything you say that...
Like what? Yeah.
Even your mom's boyfriend is a trombone player?
Yeah.
That sounds...
That's vulgar.
Yeah.
My apologies.
Church trombone player is a vulgar thing to be.
Sounds vulgar too. Everything could be...
But
a double entendre.
Let's get real, Ian. Did you or did you not work on the Lyricist Lounge show
on
MTV?
Yeah. Yeah.
So you got to know who Messy Marv is.
I know who E-40 is. I know who Sugar T is.
You know who the politician is. The quarterback, 40 Water.
Sorry, his name never came up during pitch meeting.
Wait, Jordan, I know we're going to talk about something with you. I have to ask this question because I never saw the Lyricist Lounge show.
Uh-huh.
I did have Lyricist Lounge CDs, and so I got really confused when I heard
I don't even know what it is. Could you explain the premise of the show?
I'll explain the premise, but
yes.
Whether now or after, just YouTube it.
Yeah.
And I think you'll like it.
Okay.
So the Lyricist Lounge was like a sketch show that was half rap sketches and half regular sketches.
When you say rap sketches, do you mean that the sketches were rapped?
Yeah, the sketches were rapped.
As in the people were rapping in the sketches?
People were rapping in the sketches like they had a...
Now, you understand that sounds like a terrible, terrible idea, Ian.
We're talking about it was a great execution. Like, I'm surprised it didn't go further.
Uh-huh.
No, it was check it out.
I don't believe you at all.
I know.
I want you to know that I don't believe you at all.
I'm glad you're honest about that because I could tell from the look on your face that you were like,
sounds like a horrible idea.
He's like, hell no, I'm not believing this. But at least you said it. So I'm glad.
Because I remember at the time, because the Lyricist Lounge started out as a famous recurring show. It was like a weekly show or a monthly show in New York, right? And then it became sort of one of the most famous series of compilation, underground hip hop compilation records,
right,
in the late 90s, in the mid to late 90s,
mm-hmm.
That were sort of the epicenter of the underground hip hop movement when underground hip hop was like, oh, we're underground hip hop, and you know, the birth of the dawn of we like hip hop, not rap or whatever.
Right.
You know,
rap versus hip hop. Yeah.
The thing that curdled into that.
Right.
You know, I'm not that into that, but at the time when that was a thing and it was worthwhile, this was the center.
The first
of that.
Backpackers.
Yeah, exactly.
Right.
And I remember hearing that they were getting a television program.
Right.
And thinking like, oh, that's great. I had to watch Pharoah Monch on MTV or whatever.
How come you didn't check it out?
I don't think I had cable.
You knew so much.
I don't think I had cable.
Where did the sketches come from? Was that part of their original, you know, club show or whatever?
I don't know how the concept came up, but it worked out. We had sketches like a bank robbery.
Uh-huh.
Like, you know, they're in a bank.
But they're rapping.
And four dudes just that are online just bust out. One gets the door. One gets the cash register. One goes to the safe. and they're rapping their instructions, and people are following along, and some of the hostages are rapping, but they're all rappers, you know, and the music is hot, and the lyrics are kind of funny, and it's kind of clever because they put it all together, and it's a complete story within, you know, like you listen to, like, it's like some Nas joints or some Jay-Z joints where they, like, tell a story or Kool G rap, and it's just basically, like, if you could actually shoot a Kool G rap, any of his songs, and have, like, a nice, hot, like, short story. And that's basically what Lyricist Lounge was. And then they had regular, like, SNL-type sketches with some other actors. It's a good combination.
Sort of like that one time Beyonce made a hip opera.
So they got that from the Lyricist Lounge show, and they made a whole movie. So they did that right after. But that's where they got it from.
You remember that hip opera?
I don't remember the hip opera.
You should have watched that.
I think it was a disaster.
It was sort of a disaster, except that...
What was it? Yeah.
Huh?
What was it?
It was a retelling of Carmen, starring Beyonce, and I want to say Mos Def was in
it,
maybe.
That might have been her first acting role.
Yeah, well, I mean, she's still a bad actress. She's never improved.
That might have been her first bad acting role.
she's a lovely young woman.
Oh, sure.
She continues to be a beautiful young woman. Okay, sorry, Jordan. I cut you off there. I just got excited to talk to Ian about this one thing that I remembered seeing on his IMDb that I have literally been wondering about this and have not bothered to type it into the internet for 10 years.
That's some lazy shit. That's some lazy.
I have been so busy typing bullies with fullies into the internet.
Yeah,
that,
I mean, you know.
Mustard what?
Mustard plug. Yeah.
Well, I'm not gonna. I already know what that is. I'm not gonna type that. That's asking for trouble. You type mustard plug into the internet.
Yeah, that'll ruin your whole day.
You're either going to get some kind of gross pornography or worse, ska music.
Well, hopefully some gross pornography.
And then you'll
feel
really bad. Either way, you're going to jack off and feel bad about it. Just go, oh, I can't believe I jacked off to that. Oh, jeez.
Ska pornography.
Yeah.
Jordan. Ska pornography.
Skanography.
I think
we talked a little bit last week about, you know, how pornography has to be so novel to sell these days. It has to be, you know,
you gotta
parodies.
Have subcultures.
Sure. I mean, I think that, you know, I think 90s nostalgia is big.
Right.
There's all these 90s nostalgia tours going around. I think, like, I think I saw that, like, Bare Naked Ladies are doing a tour with, like, Sugar Ray and Cracker over the summer.
Okay.
So, yeah, I mean, I think that that's, you know, it's a market, I think.
Wait, did you say Bare Naked Ladies are doing a tour with Sugar Ray and Cracker?
Yeah.
What is that? Just the sad tour?
Yeah, no, I think it's called Summer Fest or Summer Jam.
Jeez,
I know,
Louise,
yeah, for sure.
That is horrible.
Yeah.
It's old school shit.
But that is just sad, though, because it's the combination that makes it sad.
Sure.
Right? Because what it is... There are...
Oh, the Gin Blossoms are also involved.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah. Just made it sadder.
Because...
Now I have to jack off.
Because...
I feel bad about it.
What you're doing when you combine those things is it's like each thing cancels out any people that might actually like the thing.
Sure.
Like the dorks that might actually like the Bare Naked Ladies, like the sort of genial doofuses that actually like the Bare Naked Ladies.
Right.
And then the sort of vacant assholes that actually like Sugar Ray.
Yeah.
And then the, I don't know, I guess like the sort of like, I don't know if were there people that actually like the Gin Blossoms?
Yeah, I
like
think
people
the,
like
I
is
think,
there, do they
know,
still
I,
have alternative
I
rock
would
cred?
I would guess that the
I don't
Gin
know
Blossoms,
enough about alternative rock as a genre.
I'm also fuzzy on this too. This was popular in a time where I mainly cared about Rancid.
Uh-huh.
So I think that the Gin Blossoms people are the same as the Sugar Ray people. So I think that's a good combo.
Really?
Yeah, I think so.
But only girls like Sugar Ray?
Yes, I think only girls like Gin Blossoms.
Why does Sugar Ray? It seems like Sugar Ray was fine, and then the dude just said, "I'm leaving. I'm gonna be on extra."
Yeah, yeah.
It's like,
but was like, Sugar Ray fine?
I don't know.
Sugar Ray wasn't doing fine.
They weren't doing bad.
Would you rather be in Sugar Ray or would you rather host Extra?
I'd rather host Extra because it seems like there's more longevity involved.
Right.
But you get more bitches from being in Sugar Ray.
I bet the extra bitches are pretty,
yeah,
you know,
I mean,
pretty substantial.
You probably
I would
do
guess.
Okay on bitches.
Yeah, I mean, but you know, some screaming girls at a concert.
Yeah.
Like, you know, you know what it is? If some girl comes to a Sugar Ray concert, you know you could fuck her.
Yeah, that's true.
Sure.
If they just watch an extra, you don't know.
Yeah, you know, she might be trying to give you a resume or something.
If you could figure out a way to go through the television, you could probably fuck her. But exactly. I mean, yeah, that's but probably the concert, because of the, right there. Because of your powers of technology.
Yeah, right. Sure. I mean, think about it. You're a 35-year-old young mother. Your better days are behind you. Mother. And then fucking Sugar Ray just kicks the screen out of your TV and comes into your house. You're totally fucking before your husband got home.
Yeah, he's not a bad looking guy. He's a handsome man.
Mark McGrath.
That's how we ended up. He hosts Extra?
I think he does not host Extra anymore.
Yeah, I think he just left like a year or so again.
Yeah.
Oh, when they just switched him out for Mario Lopez or some shit.
Yeah.
Wait, does Mario Lopez host Extra?
That's what he hosts.
Right? I thought he hosts Dancing with the Stars.
No.
Mario Lopez hosts most things.
Yeah, on TV right now.
I think Mario Lopez is he's rivaling Seacrest for most things hosted.
Yeah. Really?
Yeah, he hosts like America's Best Dance Crew,
Best Dance Crew on MTV. And then he does, I think he does Extra. Which one they shoot at the Grove?
No, yeah, I know.
That's,
oh, God.
Shit, that's, but it's one of, it's like E, the most enter, you know, the one that, I forgot.
It might be Access Hollywood.
Might be Access, one of them.
Yeah.
There's so many now, but there used to just be one. But he's hosting some major shit.
So, Mario Lopez from Saved by the Bell?
Sure.
Yes. Where have you been?
I don't know. I just guess I internet? Just don't really. Yeah, I've been on the internet. Googling.
Here's some things.
Mustard plug.
I was looking for the Sex Act, not the ska band.
He's hosting that Sugar Ray tour with the.
Yeah, Mario Lopez comes out and introduces. Yeah, I guess if you are having a '90s nostalgia tour, you're gonna want a member of Saved by the Bell to come out.
Well, you probably just get Zach, right?
I think Zach is probably the hardest to get. He's had the most. You know,
he's
consistent success.
Is he?
He's on Franklin and Bash.
Yeah.
He is.
Yes.
He's one of the dudes.
He's our friend Kumail Nanjiani.
Franklin or Bash.
Yeah.
He's Kumail Nanjiani friends.
He hangs out with Kumail Nanjiani basically every day.
Mm-hmm. Oh, my God. So Zach's
doing all right.
Our friend Kumail Nanjiani. So we are friends with someone who is friends with Zach from Saved by the Bell.
Yes.
If you told me that when I was 12 years old, if you had told me that, that I would ever know someone who knew someone that handsome.
That's hilarious.
Wait a minute. Do you really think that Zach from the Saved by the Bell is remarkably handsome to the point where you would?
No, I don't
know. Oh, okay.
He kind of gives me the willies.
You know what's funny about that statement? Like, you know when Jamie Foxx won the Oscar?
Yeah.
Like, I know, like, a good friend of his.
Yeah.
And I'm sitting there and I see Jamie Foxx get the Oscar. And I said, I can't believe Speedy's friend won an Oscar.
Oh, you're like, Speedy's friend.
Speedy's friend. Like, who would have known, like, years ago that you would even know somebody that won an Oscar? I'm like, Speedy?
But I mean, is that mostly because you would never expect someone with a name as ridiculous?
But that's part of it.
That's like if you had a buddy named Chum Bucket.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And then Chum Bucket's best friend got elected governor. You know, who'd have thought that it would be Chum Bucket's
buddy
elected governor?
It was funnier to say Speedy's friend won an Oscar than Jamie Foxx. Yeah. Or Chum Bucket's friend just got elected governor. Jesus.
Oh, your dump truck's friend. Congratulations on your Nobel Prize in chemistry.
Dump truck told me all about you.
Dump truck's the best.
Okay, so wait. So Mario Lopez hosts how many shows?
All shows that Seacrest does not host.
Yeah. Do you think, this is a real question about this.
Sure.
Do you think that if you're one of these guys, like if you're Mario Lopez and you host a bunch of these shows, do you think that that makes Mario Lopez feel happy?
Yeah.
I think you are probably surrounded by positivity at all times.
Right.
I think you have people telling you what a great job you're doing.
Right, because you're being touted as a handsome guy.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
You're making some money. You're
but
on TV.
If you're being touted as a handsome guy all the time, do you think that that makes you wonder whether there's something else wrong with you on the inside?
No, he's superficial. Who cares? Right.
That's why you're working.
That's why you're always working. Like, he's always working out, and he plays into what he's been told, and that's his bread and butter.
Is he a homosexual
gentleman? He's smart enough to not go away from it.
Oh, I actually saw Mario Lopez out with a lady. He sat behind me when I saw The Fighter.
Uh-huh.
And She was very, very attractive. Not that homosexuals don't hang around with attractive women. Sometimes they do.
Because that's all they do.
Yeah, basically. Yeah. They're not hanging around with hot dudes.
But, you know, I want to take back my answer on the happiness.
Right.
Yeah.
Because when you mentioned the fighter, I could just see Mario Lopez's face watching the fighter and going, that could be me. That's what I want to do.
Oh, yeah, maybe.
And I'm like hosting this shit. I'm making some money. But he, you know, he's probably trying to get some serious acting work. And they're like,
I bet Wahlberg started out as a, you know, ridiculous boy band guy.
Right.
Yeah. And now he's a, you know, a respectable actor. Right. Yeah, maybe so, Mario Lopez sees that and goes, God, fuck, I should have Wahlberged a little bit.
Yeah, because no matter what you have, you always want more. Or there's always a better career you want. Mm-hmm.
God, I wish I had Speedy's career. If I could just be Chum Bucket for one
I know.
Day.
That should be our new action item. Do you think Mario Lopez is sad inside? 206-984-4FUN.
No, but I mean, I just, when I see a show like that, you know, the kind of show that is so, because if you're like if you're the host of, you know, if you're the host of a news program, then you're not necessarily sad inside because you're doing something.
Sure.
You're doing an actual thing.
Unless it's a local show.
Right.
And you want to make it to on a national level. Then you're like, shit.
Yeah.
You know, but it depends. Like, I mean.
But I mean, you could have some reward inside yourself for that.
Right.
And I mean, even if you're even if you host The View, like if you're on The View. If you're Whoopi Goldberg or Joy Behar or the horrible other people that host The View.
Chum Bucket, dump truck.
Chum Bucket, dump truck. But I mean, like sure. Like, let's say you're Whoopi Goldberg, right? And frankly, I know Whoopi Goldberg is not a popular person to like. But I like Whoopi Goldberg.
I like her.
Because I'm from San Francisco and Whoopi Goldberg is a, you know, a San Francisco person. Mm-hmm. I used to take Whoopi Goldberg's record out of the library in San Francisco and listen to it all the time as a kid. Yeah. Like, I really like Whoopi Goldberg. I think she's a cool, smart, funny lady.
Right.
I think she's in that category of, like, you know, obviously has done some great stuff and kind of hard to dislike, but probably can't point to anything recently that she's done that's been anything.
The thing about Whoopi is I think she's accepted where she's at, and she doesn't. When you watch her on The View, you know, when I accidentally watch her on The View,
right?
Because who watches The View?
I had a job where I worked for the Ellen DeGeneres Show, and it was my job to watch The View every day.
Oh, for real?
Yeah. I had to watch The View every
day. Is she gay?
Spy?
Huh?
Ellen DeGeneres, is she gay?
No. Oh, God. Question. God, she was...
One time I saw her out with Mario Lopez, and they were...
Yeah. Every day, just a fucking new dude, a different race every day, was coming in that office and fucking ripping Ellen in half.
So, sorry. Let me ask you a question. Is she a bitch? Like, I hear she's a...
Asshole. I did not have a lot of contact with Ellen DeGeneres when I worked there. She is super private.
Right.
She has personal security. That kind of ushers her kind of to and fro.
To be fair, if I was a small, super famous lady who was also famous for being one of the first out gay people, I would probably have personal security that
right.
I should.
Right. And I will say that it was also my job. I would, yeah. In addition to watching The View, I don't believe you.
What?
You'd have security?
Yeah, because I think there's a reason. It's like this. Look, I don't want to cut off your, but like I worked in the mayor's office briefly when I was in high school in San Francisco.
Chum Bucket?
Yeah. I worked in the mayor's office briefly when I was in high school in San Francisco when Willie Brown was the mayor of San Francisco. And there was an incident while I was working in the mayor's office where Willie Brown got pied. He got hit in the face with a pie.
Hilarious.
Classic gag.
Yeah.
And Willie...
Stuffy old mayor, pie in the face.
And the mayor was pissed. And he said... And part of the reason he was pissed is because he said, you know, like, look, I'm a black guy and I genuinely have a reason and I'm the mayor of a city and... You know, he was the first African-American assembly leader of California. He was, you know, the man's 75 years old now. So he was a civil rights leader. Like he's genuinely had a reason to be worried about people attacking him.
Right.
Right. And
Like, that I understand.
And at the time, I was like, yeah, I understand why you would genuinely feel like you had and not think that was funny for that reason.
To be fair.
But how does a lesbian talk show host, how does this translate to a lesbian
talk show
host?
You think she wasn't getting death threats and shit?
Well, I can actually definitively answer this question. Okay. I had to, part of my job, in addition to watching The View, is going into the, you know, Yo Ellen at Ellen Show email, right, and just like, you know, kind of monitoring it for, you know, things they might want to use on the show.
Right.
Several death threats per day.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. Well, real crazy. Okay, real crazy ones.
Maybe she needs security then.
Yeah, yeah.
She should get security.
Sure. Yeah, right?
And I mean, Ian, also, I mean, as an African-American man yourself, mm-hmm, I think you should get some security because people might want to take you out.
Sure. But I think mainly what to do.
My security right now is not to wear hoodies. that's my security.
That's your personal.
That's political commentary on our show.
I think just the main thing, I think the main mistake that Willie Brown made, and I think the mm-hmm mistake that I don't want to see you make, is if you're in the same room as a pie.
Becoming the first African-American mayor of San Francisco.
Just don't do that. If you're in the same room as a pie, don't say, I want that pie, give it to me, let me have it. Because you're just setting somebody up. And I get that maybe he just wanted to have the pie because it was good, but like, you can't resist that classic joke setup.
And also, when you're working as a painter, do everything in your power not to get assigned to the ladder crew with Larry mm-hmm and Mo. Because every time they turn around... But boom.
Oh, somebody's going to get hit.
Yeah. Every time hilarious they turn around.
Well, I can assure you, Speedy's other friend is not going to get pied.
I'm good.
Okay.
So yeah, I didn't have too much interaction with Ellen while I was working mm-hmm there, but I will always regard it as a good job because when I left, they gave me an Xbox.
Oh, that's hot.
Yeah, it was cool.
So why did they want you to watch The View?
Just so they didn't repeat things that they had done on The View.
Oh, right.
So, yeah, I had to, like, give them a little rundown with, like, they talked about this, and then there was some, then Joy was kibitzing.
So
I was racist. All of my
so this is the
rundowns
thing
were racist.
This is the thing about being Whoopi Goldberg or uh-huh whatever on The View.
Right. Is Joy Behar Jewish? Maybe she's not. She seems Jewish.
I think she's Jewish.
I think she is, too.
Joy Behar, every time sometimes I'll watch an interview with somebody who's going to be on Bullseye mm-hmm when they've been on The View. I just watched one with, if you want to watch the awkward 7 minutes of television, watch Rachel Dratch's recent appearance on The View. It is the just most painful, weird
thing. Boy, yeah,
thing.
I mean, my several months watching that show every day, it's an awful program. I don't know if it's gotten any better, but it's nonsense.
They have like some moments and shit.
Yeah, but here's the thing about being on The View. Like, however you, even if you're on The View, and I think that obviously, Barbara Walters didn't get where she is by being a dunce.
Right.
You know, I think Whoopi Goldberg has, you know, I think her success has been merited. I think Joy Behar seems like a really cool lady. Every time I watch one of those things, I always come away from it thinking like, man, that Joy Behar seems like a really cool lady.
She's funny, too. She'll slip in some real funny shit.
Yeah, she'll say something that's actually funny.
Yeah, her and Kelly Ripa, you can count on like,
Right, yeah, she actually did say something that actually was funny on purpose.
Yeah, and Kelly Ripa, like, you know, to her credit, it's like, when I used to watch Regis, I was like, this motherfucker's amazing.
Yeah.
Like, there's something, motherfucker just, first of all, how do you get this many stories from your past? Like, how old are you that you have enough stories for 5 days a week for 40 years on TV?
Yeah.
Like and you live most of your life on TV.
Yes.
And Kelly Ripa's like, the same. It's like it was a no-brainer.
Yeah. They're both amazing geniuses. And I want to be clear. The reason that I'm so impressed at Kelly Ripa and Joy Behar being so hilarious is not cuz they're lady television hosts. It's cuz they're on daytime TV, which is the least funny thing in the history of the world. But the thing about being on The View is mm-hmm at the very least at the end of the day, you're offering your thoughts and feelings about something.
Right.
Like, that's a key part of the show. So, mm-hmm, like, ultimately, if you're somebody who does other stuff that's maybe classier, like, let's say you're Aisha Tyler was recently on Bullseye, and she's so fantastic on Archer. And she's just so great on Archer, very talented mm-hmm actress. And she's on one of these shows that's like The View. And you know, I don't know how.
Oh, proud is she on the one with Ozzy Osbourne's wife?
I don't know who else.
She's
guesting,
or she's on it.
She's on it. She's regular on it. She's regular.
I don't think it's the one with Ozzy's wife.
Okay,
it's Sheryl Underwood is on that.
Okay,
she's Darlene from Roseanne is the host and executive producer of it. I think.
Wow, really?
I think it's called The Talk. Okay. If I remember correctly. Okay. Anyway, I've not seen the show.
That
but
is
anyway,
one with Ozzy's wife. But go ahead,
Aisha Tyler. Like she can go to work in the day, and mm-hmm. even if the show is terrible, and I don't know if it is or not, I haven't seen it.
Right.
She can be like, well, you know, I shared some thoughts and feelings. Maybe I changed some minds, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
Right.
If you work on Extra, you've done nothing. You've done nothing for the your life's work. Is empty.
Sure.
It's hilarious.
You are purely there to throw to clips from pieces of media from your boss's parent company.
And you're in front of it. I mean, it's not like I had a friend.
But that's why they hire Mario Lopez, because he's good at nothing.
Yeah. That's the thing. But I mean, I had a friend who worked on Entertainment Tonight mm-hmm. as a researcher.
Right.
And that is like a job where you have... I mean, he didn't like Entertainment Tonight, I don't think. I mean, mm-hmm. he likes his coworkers and stuff. I don't think he hated it, but right. I don't think he enjoyed the show. Mm-hmm. But, you know, he liked research and learning about entertainment. He was he's a trivia guy and, you know, went on Jeopardy and, like, reading and learning about stuff. You know what I mean? He was that kind of guy. Mm-hmm. So he got something out of that part of the job. But hosting a TV show of the type of where you go stand on a stage and read from cue cards or read from a teleprompter. I know I've done it. If there's no like jokes or even interviews,
they'll send Lopez to a junket every now and then.
But it's not, I mean, there's not really.
But that's how good of an actor he is. He pretends to like that shit.
Yeah. Maybe
this is a tough job. Not anybody could just do this.
Yeah. Oh, it is tough.
He's dying inside.
I have to pretend to have an opinion about Kesha.
Yeah, you can't tell. But that's how amazing this motherfucker is.
I don't want to run down how good the dude is at it, because being good at that is crazy hard.
Yeah.
I know, because I wasn't that great at it. I was okay at it, but I was not that great at it. But the emptiness, there's got to be empty. Yeah. You got to feel terrible.
He's taking pills. He's definitely taking pills.
Okay, so you're all the way on my side.
Yeah,
now.
Yeah. There's no disagreement here.
You claimed happiness at the beginning of this conversation. Yeah, I will remind you.
And then I took it back when he mentioned, you know, Mario Lopez watching The Fighter.
Right.
He's in shape.
Yeah.
And he's watching like a boy band member. Mm-hmm. Get nominated for an Oscar, and he's like, yeah. "I was on Saved by the Bell." That's a close proximity.
Yeah,
like that could have been me. That could have been my career trajectory, and I'm hosting. Like I got to interview this guy.
Yeah,
about a great movie, and I'm just like,
"Oh yeah, God, that must be." I bet that those are the tough moments for Mario Lopez. Yeah. You do have to deal with a member of your like cultural peer group, you know.
Do you think Mario Lopez has ever had to interview Zach from Saved by the Bell?
I bet he has.
Probably has, because that shows, you know, he probably has. The only thing that saves him is
he makes
what's
more
the guy
money
with
than
the
Zach.
What's the guy with the glasses?
Screech.
When he just has to go home and look at Screech online.
Yeah. And
like,
seriously?
Screech is porn.
Yeah.
And then
you know, Screech.
Like, you know,
Screech was on our show once in our college days, and he was a real asshole.
You know, but maybe that's it. Yeah, maybe that is what Mario Lopez can like take some solace in. I guess, sure. There are the Wahlbergs and there are the Zachs of the world.
Right.
But you always have like Screech to kind of look down on. I think we can agree that he's the saddest.
Yeah, Screech bottomed out.
Screech is probably the saddest.
Yeah, because Screech could have taken. I mean, even if his even given his career falling apart, he could have taken the high road and just not been a dick.
Right.
Sure.
He could have just quit the business and gotten a regular job, or he could have gone behind the scenes and
become
the next Fred Savage.
Or done like his looks and become a lawyer. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, exactly.
But no.
No. Yeah. No. He turned out to go on Jesse and Jordan's college radio show and tell joke book jokes about disabled people.
Wow.
Which he really did.
Mm-hmm.
Did we ever find that? I think we found it. I think it was in the college years archive.
Oh,
somewhere.
God. I don't know. Yeah.
Yeah, I think you can find it in the college.
That's something that I wouldn't want to listen to.
I know.
Like,
I haven't listened to it since we were in college. I am grateful that it occurred for one reason, though.
Hmm.
when people ask me what's the worst interview you've ever had on
you
the Sound of Young America,
Screech from Saved
I have
Bell.
Something to tell people right away that I don't feel bad about telling people because we gave right. him, it wasn't just like an awkward social interaction. Uh-huh. Like we gave him a lot of, we were kept trying to give him opportunities to not just tell sort of rude jokes about disabled people uh-huh. and just be a jerk on purpose.
I think we even played a song from his math rock band.
Yes.
Which he also has.
We wanted to talk. Or we had. Tried to talk to his, we tried to talk about his band. We tried to talk to him about his instructional chess DVD that was out at the time.
Instructional chess DVD.
All he wanted to do was tell seriously street jokes, joke book jokes about fucking quadriplegics.
Wow.
Mean jokes about disabled people. Oh, it was horrible. The moment this stands out in my mind more than any other is him telling these awful quadriplegic jokes, like wheelchair jokes. And at one point, I think Jordan, might have been Gene, said, "Hey, maybe we should talk about your act." And then Screech said, "This is my act." Oh, anyway.
I had an, speaking of 90s nostalgia, I had a kind of a funny occurrence the other day. I feel like the advertising for American Reunion
is just
all over the place.
Yeah, it is.
Boy, I desperately want like a friend to see. I don't want to see it, but I'm so curious about it. I would love it if a friend would see it. So if someone has seen American Reunion and wants to call me and tell me about it.
I think that's a fun action item. Whoever
oh,
has,
yeah.
We do not want to go see American Reunion, but we kind of feel like we should know what happens in
sure.
it, or not just a plot summary, just we should know what we should know about it.
Yeah. Anyway, so there's this set of ads for it that's just kind of like a big poster with one of the characters on
right.
it. It's, you know, Stifler.
Yeah, I saw a Stifler
Jim.
One last night.
And the one of Jennifer.
It was great. I was glad that they brought Stifler back to play Stifler.
It is really, yeah. Yeah. So the one with Jennifer Coolidge on it. She's in all the Christopher Guest movies. She kind of specializes in, you know, playing vapid Hollywood women.
Okay.
Yeah. So she's the woman who is famous for having a sort of plumped face.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
You know what I'm talking about?
Unnaturally plumped face.
Yeah, you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, you look a plumped face.
Yeah. Yeah.
If I can just find a gal with a plump face who doesn't mind the old mustard plug. Action item. If you've seen American Reunion.
It's the new Dirty Sanchez.
Or if you're a gal with a... If you're a plump-faced gal... Who wouldn't mind the old mustard plug on my birthday? The one for Jennifer Coolidge.
Plug.
So she plays, you know, a cougar type woman
right.
in these, and you know she's super funny. And I mean, I still remember her from the first one, and it being one of the legit hilarious moments.
Yeah,
it was
a hilarious movie. First one.
Yeah, totally. But they for her big poster they. Airbrushed it, and her, you know, her cleavage is very prominent, but not in a hilarious way, like in a Jennifer Love Hewitt on, you know, whatever that show she's on way. Like it's that same kind of ad where her, like they're trying to, you know,
legitimize it sexily.
Yeah, it's like
oh, you're
so
talking about Jennifer Love Hewitt's upcoming Lifetime show,
yes.
Jennifer Love Hewitt, the fuck whore.
Sure, yeah, boobs the show.
Yeah.
So I'm like, oh, that's so weird because that character isn't supposed to be sexy. It's supposed to be grotesque.
Right.
Like it's supposed to be, you know, she's not supposed to be. It's supposed to be funny that a guy right. is having sex with her. It's not supposed to be. You're not supposed to root for that guy
right.
who has sex with her. It's supposed to be like, oh gosh, mm-hmm. I wish they weren't presenting this character as sexy but as funny.
Right.
But then I also thought to myself. I would fuck Jennifer Coolidge in a second.
Oh, you would?
In a second. I would not even have to think about it. So I've learned that about myself.
what's the name?
We would go see Bare Naked Ladies.
That's hilarious.
Anyway.
What's the name of the chick that played the exchange student?
Oh, yeah. I was trying to... You would be tempted to say Jennifer Love Hewitt, but it's not. It's a Jennifer Love Hewitt-esque character who... Shannon Elizabeth.
Shannon Elizabeth. Like, you know, I did a season of Punk'd.
Oh, yeah.
And we were using her to help set up Mila Kunis,
mm-hmm.
you know.
Ain't that always the way?
You know, that's always the way.
Oh, yeah. So then you got to set up Kunis.
You got to set up Kunis. You know what I'm saying? So,
you got to use Elizabeth to catch a Kunis. So
you got to if you want a mustard plug, you got to set up the Kunis.
If you want a mustard plug Kunis, you're gonna need an Elizabeth to do that shit. You're gonna need a Shannon. So, you know, usually, so the person, you know, gets the person there and helps set the scenario, and you know, the players go in, get the mark, and flip the whole shit around.
And you were the rapping bank robber?
No, I was like, I was playing a cop. You know what I'm saying? I was playing cop. And let me tell you something. Shannon and Elizabeth fucked the whole thing up because she couldn't act. That was the irony of the whole.
What was the scenario supposed to be?
She was so unbelievable.
Yeah.
The Kunis is like, I'm getting punked, right?
Oh, funny.
That's how bad.
Tell us what was the scenario.
I'm trying to remember the scenario because it never aired because she was on to us. It was the only one. Like, there was the first one we did when I was on that season was with T.O. And he was onto it, but I just kept going. And then, so he was in and out of belief of it. And then there was enough there to put something together.
Wait, with T.O. with Terrell Owens?
Terrell Owens, yeah. But this one, this bitch just... like, you know, you're all there. You set the thing up, and then you start doing it. And then she's talking, and you look at her, and you would just want to slap the shit out of her. And just blow it. This thing is blowing already. Let me just at least.
Well, I guess that counts as. Maybe you could just switch around and you could punk Shannon Elizabeth by really slapping her.
Yeah.
Just.
That would have been. They could have used it. It's a punk. You're right.
The logo can come in and stamp punked on her after she's been slapped. And that's the magic pusher can.
That's just battery, though.
Yeah.
Yeah, but.
Not real clever.
But neither is our acting, so fuck it. I can't remember specifically what we was trying to do, but Shannon Elizabeth told
you were just trying
Mila
to hit
to
a celebrity.
Over.
The premise of this was somebody hits a celebrity.
I mean, that's what it turned into.
So it didn't matter which.
I mean, that's what it turned into.
Which celebrity?
That's what
got
it should have turned into.
There was one where somebody was just supposed. I don't remember. Somebody was a delivery man, and somebody just socked celebrity chef Paul Prudhomme in the gut. He just threw up Cajun spices everywhere.
Just a hot fountain of gumbo. Gumbo fountain.
Crawfish all over.
Sure.
Crawfish.
Holy mackerel. There was some mackerel, too.
A little mackerel. The man has a very unique take on gumbo. A little mackerel in there.
Crawfish and mackerel.
As if crawfish ain't bad enough, throw some mackerel.
Nah. My gumbo crawfish. I don't have an impression of Paul.
No, you were doing great. You should have fucking ran with that. I was on board. You shouldn't have bailed. You can do it again. I'll hear it. Good. Do Paul Prudhomme saying
know.
I have mackerel gumbo.
Can I just do Jeff Smith, the frugal gourmet?
Oh yeah, sure.
Frugal gourmet.
But he has the same voice.
Nah. I'm the frugal gourmet.
Love it.
We'll be back in just a second on Jordan Jesse Go. It's Jordan Jesse Go. I'm Jesse Thorne, America's radio sweetheart.
Jordan Morris, boy detective.
Ian Edwards comic, hanging out.
That was a very that, he handled that very cool.
Yeah,
Mr.
thanks for hanging
Edwards.
Out.
Yeah, it's great to My have pleasure. You hanging out yeah. here. Hey, sponsors on this week's program, of course, our good friends at Ask Metafilter.
Thank you.
Thousands of life's little questions answered online at ask.metafilter.com. Ask Metafilter is the website that you can go to ask basically any question that would ever need an answer, and you will actually get a decent answer from an intelligent person. And if you're too chicken shit to ask a question, you can just Google it on Ask Metafilter and you will find the answer to your question. The answers, this is a fucking, You know about this, you know about like your websites where, I'm not going to use any brand names here, Ian, but where because they come up when you're looking for how to get past a difficult part of Skyrim. Mm.
For instance.
Serious shit. You know, yeah. Real shit.
You know about these websites. The answers are always terrible.
Mm-hmm.
The difference with Ask Metafilter is the people there actually give a shit.
Mm-hmm.
They're not just assholes on the internet.
Right.
Anyway, I love Ask Metafilter. I'm very happy that they're sponsoring our program. So ask.metafilter.com. The nice thing about Metafilter, this is like our friend Matt Howie, who owns Metafilter. This was his great genius idea that literally is what made Metafilter what it is today. To sign up for an account on Metafilter, you have to pay $5.
Oh.
$5. Like, he doesn't, that $5 isn't what makes his money. Like, mm-hmm. it's not how he earns his money from people paying $5.
Mm-hmm.
The sole purpose of the $5 is just
to keep out teen racists.
Yeah, exactly. It's just to keep people from calling each other fag. Because while many, many people on the internet want to call someone else a fag, they don't want to pay $5 for the privilege. And so if you institute that $5 rule, you're good as gold.
Sure.
Yeah, it is a wonderful website. Hey, up on the Jumbotron this week, chainclocks.com. I took a look at chainclocks.com. This is kind of amazing. These clocks are made out of, I mean, they're like electromagnetic. They're like what do you call that? Electric. And not engines, motors.
Yeah.
Electric motors, like AC motors that you plug into the wall, connected to gears and chains like you would find on a bicycle, with numbers welded and attached into the chains. It's very difficult to explain.
Yeah, they're pretty crazy looking.
They're pretty beautiful, actually. Yeah. Yeah, and they're pretty amazing. Anyway, they're really remarkable. I think they would fit in with your modern or industrial aesthetic, I would say.
Terrific.
Definitely industrial.
I think they're really cool looking. They're very reasonably priced as well. They're online at chainclocks.com. So you should go to chainclocks.com and check them out. In fact, you can get a 20% discount if you use the coupon code JJGO. When you check out. So www.chainclocks.com. He says you have to use the www. Use JJGO and you'll get 20% off. If you want to get up on the Jumbotron, it's MaximumFun.org/Jumbotron. It's cheap. It's easy. If you want to advertise on Jordan, Jesse, Go, or any of our shows, email Teresa@MaximumFun.org.
You can advertise stuff made of chains as long as they're not restraints. I think that's our rule.
Jordan. I think you should listen to my brother, and me in the coming months. I'm not gonna spill any beans about upcoming sponsors on my brother, and me.
But it's some sort of restraint company.
Again, as I said, I'm not gonna spill any beans. But
I'm sorry. I apologize. I didn't know we as an organization were pro restraint.
We're neutral on the subject.
Okay. I mean, I can get on board with it. I mean, I certainly like to be restrained sexually.
Is that an offer?
Yeah, I mean, not to you, but if there's any plump-faced women out there who want to restrain me, I'll take it.
We'll be back in just a second on Jordan, Jesse, Go.
It's hilarious.
It's Jordan, Jesse, Go. I'm Jesse Thorne, America's radio sweetheart.
Jordan Morris, boy detective.
Ian Edwards, still here.
He is. God bless him.
It's true.
I can verify that.
Yep.
That's verified.
Yeah, that's me, man.
This is not a recording, a pre-recorded. I mean, what you're listening to is a recording.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
Ian is here making this recording.
Doing it live.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I mean, he made this recording live.
Mm-hmm. Right.
That we're reacting to. In real time for us.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So he's not here with us live.
Nope.
We should explain.
No. Oh, God, no.
He recorded.
Far too famous.
He recorded a recording, gave us a script.
But he took the time out of his life.
Yes, he did.
To do that recording.
And to write the script right. as well.
There you go.
And he was very generous to give us some great lines.
Yep.
Which I really appreciate, Ian, by the way. By yep. the way, Ian, you're a very handsome man.
Oh, thank you very much.
He had me say that as well.
Yes, I said the script. You got to say it.
Also, he sent us one of his t-shirts and a pair of his shoes to put on top of the tape recorder so it would be more human, yeah. more like a person.
Yeah, yeah.
So you'd have some eye, something to, you know, like an eye visual, you know, something, you know.
Yeah.
I like a good eye visual.
Yeah.
And, you know, it was a good bonding experience for me and Jordan to spend the 12 to 16 hours it took to get the timing down to the point where we could do this live with the tape recorder.
Yeah, you guys did a good job, man.
Yeah. You know what helped a lot? When we switched out from the regular boombox to the Teddy Ruxpin. When we put the tape into the Teddy Ruxpin and put the hat on the Teddy Ruxpin, the shoes in front of the Teddy Ruxpin, that really helped me a lot.
Yeah, when you had something to play off.
Yeah. the Teddy Ruxpin's a great straight man.
Yeah.
Well, you know what they say about Teddy Ruxpin, why he's such a giving performance partner. Teddy Ruxpin stays for the reverse. Just like Jack Nicholson.
That's pretty inside baseball.
Yeah. I've got some Paramount Punch humor I'm gonna do later.
Paramount Punch.
We've got, Ian, when something momentous happens to one of our listeners, we ask that they give us a call for a segment called Momentous Occasions.
Uh-huh.
So we've got a couple of momentous occasions here. Let's give them a listen.
All right.
Hi, Jordan and Jesse. This is Molly from Raleigh, North Carolina. I was just driving to work, and this is like a good-sized town, like 400,000 people, and I saw this...
We know what Raleigh, North Carolina is. We're not that... I know we have recently been accused of coastal elitism, unfairly accused of coastal elitism.
Well.
Raleigh.
Well.
Raleigh, North Carolina. I mean, you're talking about one of the big... You're talking about this... You're in the heart of the Research Triangle.
Yes.
Yes. I just busted out some Raleigh, North Carolina knowledge. Kicked up on your teacher. Sure. Nice lady that's just trying to be helpful.
And I saw this man holding a cup, well, a pig peed into it in the parking lot of a church. It was along like a six-lane road. So I don't know what was going on there. Thanks. Bye.
Wow. That's some Raleigh, North Carolina ass shit. I don't mean to get all coastal elitist.
Yeah, I know. Fucking typical Raleigh.
Just when you didn't want to be coastally elitist. Some man's holding
typical
a cup
Raleigh.
And making a pig pee in it. And,
look, you got to tip your hat to the success of the Duke basketball team and everything. But
man, that was some country ass shit.
Do you think that's part of their religious services? Do you think the pig pee is used, you know, like... I mean,
for
I don't
some sort of anointing?
Yeah, I mean, when I think of the South, you know, there's the Baptists who handle the snakes.
I think I know what it is.
What?
You know when you're walking your dog here
mm-hmm.
and use the plastic to pick it up?
Sure, yeah.
Right.
You
when you're walking your pig in Raleigh.
Oh, yeah.
Gotcha.
You have to clean up after your pig. So you have to hold a cup.
Yes.
And then you need to take it like a shot.
Yeah.
You're sure it's not a religious thing? Because I think that's worth pursuing. I think we should run a quick... You know, they have the Bible on the internet. We should run a quick check for he anointeth him with urine.
Urine.
Yeah, let's just listen to some Mustard Plug songs.
I think that's how
they're using the internet.
That's how they pronounce the word in Bible times.
Bible time, urine.
And you got to pronounce it right when you're typing it into the internet.
Via urine.
Otherwise, you're going to be out of luck. That is a... See?
It's a good one.
The reason we have momentous occasions on this program is because...
So we can learn what dummies are up to in their stupid states. For jerks.
You think this is somehow related to Sonics?
Surely a Sonic was involved somehow. That man will take that pig for some tots later. Some sort of weird lime Dr. Pepper that we don't have out here.
Someone clarified on our message board that some Sonics have roller skating waitresses and some Sonics don't have roller skating waitresses. If you're the owner of a Sonics franchise and your waitresses don't roller skate, shoot yourself.
Yeah, I feel robbed when I go to a Sonic and there's no skaters.
That is the biggest bullshit ever.
That's the whole point.
That's the whole
I say,
I ain't going there for the food.
No.
You know, Jesse, I think you're being too kind to these guys. I'm saying fuck the skates altogether. Put them on those hand pump railroad carts.
That would be nice.
You know, that hobos escape with.
That's fun.
Have them bring your tots over on one of those hand pump railroad carts. What are those called?
I don't know what they're called, but I saw some on American Pickers the other day.
Okay.
I'm not going to get too deep into this, Jordan, because I think this is a vein that we're going to need to mine on another program because it is so rich.
A passing reference to it.
Not only have I now watched every episode of American Pickers, but I've now started to watch Canadian Pickers.
Canadian Pickers.
Apparently in Canada, they just have their own version of a show where they just replace America with Canada. Mm-hmm. I just assume for every show.
Yeah.
I don't have any reason way to verify this. they don't have lists of shows, I presume.
Yeah.
I haven't looked into it, but
in Canada they have Canadian America's Got Talent.
I saw the Canadian version of Game of Thrones.
Yeah,
yeah.
See, was it sexy?
Just some Canadian people
shaking hands.
Less power struggles. Yeah. They're just hanging around.
A lot less violence.
There was less violence, but there was more sighing.
Yeah, a lot more sighing.
To be fair, yeah. And you know, there was better health care. there was some big differences.
The people seemed to live longer.
There was nonviolent expressions of disappointment in each other more than there was brutal beheadings.
Exactly.
Spoiler alert.
Thanks a lot. I still haven't seen.
Hey, Jordan. Hey.
Yeah. I'm still not done with season one of Canadian Game of Thrones.
Hey, Jordan. Hey, Jesse. And possible guest. I was listening to your most recent show, which you're discussing, once again, secret sex parties. And I have had this little bit of information for a while. My roommate, his parents are, what do you call it, convention organizers. They help.
What do you call that again? Can you remember what people who organize... All right.
Convention organizer.
I'm sorry. This guy's good to call into our show.
But clearly not from California, or else he would have known what that word is.
Right. Sonics.
Convention organizers, they help carry around the celebrities. They watch after them. They get them their food and stuff. At conventions like your Comic-Cons, Well, they, once a year, go to a convention, which is a meta convention for convention holders, which is in fact...
Wait a minute. I just want to say that this is a great call. I really appreciate it. And I'm not trying to come down on this guy.
But...
And I genuinely appreciate it.
But...
It's okay to sit down and just take a second before you call in. I feel like this guy's on his way to Sonics.
He's jogging to Sonic.
This guy is in the middle of a tornado or something. He's like out of breath. Maybe he just found this shit out and he ran to grab his phone.
No, it could be. I mean, we do encourage that. We do encourage immediate, immediate reporting. So let's...
I take it back.
Yeah.
Benefit of the doubt goes to the caller. Tie goes to the caller. Mm-hmm. I apologize.
Unless they're from Lincoln, Nebraska.
Fucking Nebraska.
Oh, boy.
Oh, jeez.
For convention holders, which is in fact a secret sex party. I should probably also add that they're all Renfair workers. Thank you. Love the show. Bye.
Wait, did he say that...
For convention holders...
I'm going back a little bit more.
...which is a secret sex party. They, once a year, go to a convention, which is a meta convention for convention holders, which is in fact a secret sex party. I should probably also add that they're all...
So he's saying...
That there's a convention for convention holders where there is a secret sex party?
Which is a secret sex party.
Hmm.
He's saying it is a secret sex party. And... When he says conventions, I don't think he's talking about... One time I went to the podcasting convention, like the industry convention, you know, where...
Party breakout?
No, no. Well, Jordan is really deeply invested in the idea that various subcultural groups have these gatherings, and they're just excuses to have a secret sex party. And also that if he goes to them, he won't get invited to the secret sex party.
Not enough chain mail.
Yeah. Because he won't match to whatever their standard is. Yeah, he won't know enough about model trains or whatever it is. He won't meet the standard.
I'd love someone to rocket a model train.
Is Comic-Con an excuse for a sex party?
I think that comic conventions in general probably are. I think the current state of Comic-Con is probably the people who want to, you know, have a costumed fuckfest or maybe saving it for, you know, Emerald City Comic-Con, like a lesser Comic-Con. I think that the diehards probably can't be bothered at this point. But in general, yes, I think so.
So I once went to the podcasting convention and next door was what I would consider to be the ultimate industry convention. The convention hall in, what do you get when you go east on the 10?
You get more east, more easternly.
No, like what's the first thing that's there?
Oh, like Riverside or something.
No, before you get to Riverside, it has its own airport. It's the airport that we suggest people sometimes fly into before they, when
oh,
they
Ontario?
Go to
Ontario.
Yeah, Ontario, okay. California. Mm-hmm. So this is like the furthest point from Los Angeles that you could still kind of claim is in the Los Angeles area.
Right.
I think it's a 70-minute drive from Los Angeles. So the convention center has two areas. One is the Podcasting and New Media Expo. Mm-hmm. One is literally a convention for the porta potty business. So I'm guess I don't think
that way you can smell all the new stinks early. The new 2012 stinks.
But I do not think that the real industry cons is what he's talking about. Mm-hmm. I think that he's talking about specifically Comic-Con type things like fan cons, right?
Yeah.
So this is the nerd kings who run the conventions,
right,
have their own Game of Thrones, if you will.
They have their own ghost protocol.
Yeah, where they all get together for, you know, I run one of these things.
They get together for mustard plug-in.
Some serious mustard plug-in.
Yeah.
Which in this case involves hot dogs.
Yeah.
Up the ass.
That sounds amazing to me.
Yeah, at this point, I'm...
Is the allure... Is the shine off the rose? Is the old expression?
Yeah, that old. Yes. At this point, no. I want to hear like specific stuff about these things now. I mean, I know they exist. That's why I'm so mad.
Right.
Is that I kind of want to blow by blow, if you will.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Plug by plug.
Yeah, just a plug by plug.
If someone wants to call in and plug their secret sex party,
please. Yes, absolutely. Yeah, they're like, we need more pasty dudes to show up at the secret sex party. Let's advertise on a podcast. We just can't find. Where are they?
Did you ever go to the website that you just advertised and asked how to join that type of shit?
Oh, Metafilter. Do you think Metafilter would have some info on?
It's a pretty vague question to ask on Ask Metafilter, but
I can make it more specific.
Okay.
Yeah.
Think about how to craft.
There's a will, there's a way.
Sure.
Yeah, you could do that.
I'll just write costumed fuckfest question mark.
Yeah.
I'm sure I'll get some.
Yeah. Type that in and we'll see what we can do.
Yeah.
I don't think that's a bad idea.
I might do that. I got $5.
You'd be surprised. There might be some local shit going on.
I'm keen to, yeah. I think that what we really need is somebody who's been there and done that. And specifically, just to narrow it down a little bit.
I have a confession to make.
What's up?
All right, so I was hanging out with this chick.
Yeah.
Okay. She's doing some research.
Right.
And she signed up for this class. It's in North Hollywood.
Yeah.
Right.
And it's kind of like on a seedy part of a good block, maybe Lancashire. Can't remember the street.
Sure.
But it was like Saturday afternoon, like 12.
Yeah.
And we park at the address and we go in and they open up the metal gate.
What kind of research is she doing, Ian?
Like sex shop type of research and shit. And
that's not a type of research. I want you to know that that's not a type of research, but I'm going to let it slide.
Right, right. I mean, I'm not going to argue with somebody and say, hey, you want to go to this thing in the afternoon? And so it was basically
She's getting her doctorate in dildonics.
a dominatrix school?
Yeah, like
that. Wow.
And so the whole place has like different rooms and chambers and shit set up. And there was a party later on that night. and I guess they do it all the time. But the chick who taught the class was like, you can come back later, but you have to be a member or know a member. But the dominatrix lady liked the girl I was with, so she said she can come back. And I'm like, bitch, I'm standing right here next to the bitch.
How rude. Like, those dominatrixes can be so rude.
Just because you got a whip and you're wearing leather, you can't talk to me like that or not talk to me like that. But I think, you know, they had like cages and all kinds.
Well, I think the issue is
Saturday nights or whatever nights, it's on and popping over there.
A couple weeks ago on the show, we had Rob Corddry on the program. Mm. And he told us that he was once drunk with his then girlfriend, now wife, in the West Village in New York. And there's a sex club there.
Probably tons of them.
Yeah, there's many. Mm-hmm. But it was, you know, a well-known sex club. Mm-hmm. And he sort of, being curious about it, sort of said to his girlfriend, you know, let's go in. It'll be fun. It'll be hilarious, you know. And he went in, and it was just eight fat dudes. And, you know, and so the problem, ultimately, that dominatrix, when you say that she liked the chick that you were with, she just likes anything with a vagina.
Right.
Just if it has lady parts, it's invited to the party.
Right.
If it's got a weenus.
Well, yeah, if it's got a weenus, then no, it's not happening. Right.
I think that's ultimately. Because here's the thing. We did on this program talk to someone who belongs to an orgy club. In the Pacific Northwest, where they travel to a mansion in the woods, where there are mattresses on the ground and everyone has a fuck fest, which was very interesting, a very pleasant person. And Jordan's got an open invitation. I'm spoken for, but Jordan has an open invitation, which is great.
What are you waiting for, Jordan?
But there's the added.
My dick to get bigger. I'm embarrassed. I think it'll have a growth spurt, though.
I got news for you. It's only going to get smaller. Go now.
Okay, yep, you're right. I am leaving now.
You've been taking those pills you got down at the pharmacy on Figueroa, right?
Yeah, you know, those actually, those turned out to be grasshoppers dipped in chili powder.
Okay.
They're pretty good.
Yeah, well, sure.
Not doing anything for my dick, though.
Yeah. The thing that we're ultimately most interested in is not so much the sex club as the other thing club that turns out to actually be an excuse for.
Yeah. Because I think
you see what we're saying?
You lost me for a second.
I definitely I'm definitely interested in the idea of, you know, like dominatrixes and stuff like that. I think that's all fascinating and crazy.
I'm fascinated by that stuff too, man.
But I like the
idea. I'm hard as a diamond right now.
fascinatingly hard. I like the idea of the of
in
just,
my mind, my intellect,
mind boner.
My intellect is engorged.
Engorged.
Yeah, I have an engorged medulla oblongata. I like the idea of, like, you know, people getting together for a comic book convention or a, you know, those Star Wars things where everyone dresses up like a stormtrooper.
Right.
And them getting together and doing that in the daytime and then them all going and fucking each other later. I think that is that I... It, right? They're doing it.
Yeah.
We all know. Just tell us about it.
If it's on the surface, it's about fucking... Then it's a fuck club.
Right.
Right. But if they go through this whole thing where it's about this other thing, but they're keeping it secret, the thing that Jordan has his hooks into is that they're keeping it secret from him that they're all fucking at night.
So Jordan is actually wants to approach this the way a woman approaches, like, sex.
Uh-huh.
Where...
It's a complicated game and she wants to unpack something.
Yes.
Yeah, he wants to... Yeah, he wants to play. He's a cat that wants to play with the mouse.
Right. When it comes to orgies, he thinks like a woman.
It's true. And decorating, too.
Yeah.
Those
two areas of my life.
We have one more momentous occasion here.
All right.
Jordan, Jesse, go. What's up? I'm calling in with a momentous occasion.
Not much. Thank you for your call.
So in December, I woke up and half my face was paralyzed. I couldn't move it at all. Apparently, it's temporary. It could take anywhere from like 2 weeks to never to get better. So today, I woke up and blinked for the first time in 4 months. And that is my momentous occasion.
That's good.
Congratulations on your blink.
That is a great blink.
Yeah. Celebrate by going to see Blink 182.
They're on that tour.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, they're there with Primitive Radio Gods and the Crystal Method. That's a little wrong. Anyway.
I was trying to think of a 90s thing. I don't really know about those things.
Yeah, that's okay. Bush.
Bush.
Let's go around the room. Silver Chair. Come on, guys. Help me out here.
I think you know most of them.
Yeah.
M.O.P.
Oh, I don't know, maybe. Oh,
what about I Like Girls Who Wear Abercrombie and Fitch Chinese Food Makes Me Sick?
Oh, LFO.
They made a song with M.O.P.
Terrific.
That is the best thing about the 90s.
Mm.
If you want
when
to talk about
LFO teamed up with M.O.P.
The time that LFO teamed up with M.O.P. and wondering whether M.O.P. signed up for it for the money or just because they like other groups with acronym names. Yeah, like if they would have been down with anybody that had a three-letter acronym name.
Come on, let's get it going again. Big Head Todd and the Monsters. Come on, everybody. Help me out here. I'm going.
Keep going.
Yeah.
You're doing great, Jordan.
Thanks, guys.
I really want to encourage you. You're really doing a wonderful
garbage
job.
Garbage. Come on.
Yeah, good.
Nine-inch nails.
You're better than me at this. Yeah? Mm-hmm. Nine-inch nails. Yeah. What else?
M.O.P.
Yeah, thank you.
Did
good.
I already say M.O.P.?
Nice one, Jesse. Yeah, you did. Okay. Well, I think I've mainly listed all the 90s bands. Tonic. Okay. Cake.
Does B-52s count?
Yeah.
No, they don't count at
no,
all.
I
it
didn't
was terrible.
So. I didn't
think
so.
It was horrible.
So.
Yeah,
God.
That was worse
it.
Than when I said M.O.P.
That's all I
at
had.
At least M.O.P. are actually from the 90s.
That's all I
M.O.P.
had.
Did not fit the theme, but they are from the 90s.
Aqua.
That's all I had. I told you I wasn't good at this one.
Yeah, that's okay.
Yeah. This is terrible. You're a fucking embarrassment, Ian.
I guess I'm the only one who's good at this.
We'll be back in just a second. I'm Jordan Jessica. La, 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 la. Jordan Jesse Go. I'm Jesse Thorne, America's radio sweetheart.
Jordan Morris, boy detective.
Ian Edwards, hanging out.
First of all, I want to thank the... We blew past our goal of 1,000 new donors in the Max Fund Drive. I would like to thank each and every one of those people personally. So I have a list in front of me.
Thank you to Bush, Tonic, Sugar Ray, Sublime.
Toad the Wet Sprocket?
There you go.
Was it?
Love it.
Yes.
B-52s?
Wait, still wait. No. Jordan, Semisonic.
Terrific.
A guy from Semisonic... went to the church that I used to work at, and he wrote a really nice book about being in Semisonic called So You Want to Be a Rock Star.
Nice.
He was a great guy. A great guy. Anyway.
The Refreshments.
Is that something?
Yeah. They wrote the King of the Hill theme song.
Oh.
Yeah.
I love King of the Hill.
This is a fun show.
Oh my god. Anyway,
I just have the names of bands that I say while I clap.
Usually it's either me just saying the names of guys that played for the Giants or the A's in 1989, or me saying the names of Bay Area rappers from the mid 1990s. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it's a refreshing change of pace for our audience. You saying 1990s alternative rock band names is actually in our audience's wheelhouse. This actually is something they will recognize, and they're like at home nodding their heads like, oh yes, these are names I recognize.
I don't know. I feel like people love the baseball shit. I feel like all the little references people, all the times I see people like
Jordan,
talking to you on the internet, it's about like, what about this funny baseball name?
Jordan, there are 12 people in our audience that like sports and 3 people in our audience that like rap music.
You know, I feel like this is maybe a topic that I'm bringing up at the end of the show. I feel like
this is going to be as rich and deep and powerful as this American Pickers, Canadian Pickers thing that I want to get into sometime?
I feel like the sports averse nerd is a thing of the past. I feel like every nerd I know is super into... Not every nerd I know, but I feel like... when I think about my friend group, which is nerds...
Yeah.
They are as as many of them are into sports or is not into sports. I think the aggressive towards sports nerd is over. I think it's, I don't think it's a thing anymore.
Wow. You know, I think some jocks became nerds.
Yeah.
Or they just grow up as nerds now, as opposed to, you know.
I think the line is blurred.
Yeah. Well, listen.
Definitely.
As a jock myself. As a jock. I just wanted to say that. Anyway, our thanks to the we blew the lid off of our goal of 1,000 new donors. Special thanks to every single one of you who donated. Every single one of you who has continued your donation. Every single one of you who has increased your donation. We could not appreciate it more. It's what pays all of our bills here at MaximumFun.org. So you are absolutely tremendous. I've got just a huge pile of blondies to bake for Blondie Brigade members. We've got a lot of we've got a thousands of thank you gifts to mail out. So thank you very much, and we hope you enjoy the bonus content. And you are the best. You are absolutely the best. All of our listeners are totally 100% top. So thank you very much from the bottom of my heart. And we are going to have a really, really cool fucking meetup.
Oh, yeah.
May 10th, our friends at This American Life, my brothers and sisters in public radio distribution at PRI, are doing a live show in New York that will be live broadcast to movie theaters around the country. So we decided that we would do a special meetup for this show. So it's May 10th. It's in movie theaters all over everywhere. Here in Los Angeles, me and Jordan and Aaron Gibson and Brian Safi are going to be hosting a meetup at we will be attending the showing at the Burbank 16. Then we'll be going out for drinks somewhere afterwards. Keep your eyes on the website.
Might I suggest?
Yes.
I have not been to this particular movie theater, but I think I can picture where it is.
Yep.
If it's close, meet up at Buffalo Wild Wings.
Really?
Yeah.
You're suggesting Buffalo Wild Wings.
Oh, yeah. B-dub-dub. Of course I am. Yeah. If it's Thursday, it'll be Boneless Thursdays.
Are they open at night?
Boneless.
Oh, they're totally... Oh, yeah. Buffalo Wild Wings. I mean, you know, yeah, you want to party at Buffalo Wild Wings.
Okay. Well, then it sounds like Buffalo Wild Wings.
Get some Bud Light Platinums.
Are you going to be the one who breaks it to Brian and Aaron that we're going to have our meetup at Buffalo Wild Wings?
Oh, knowing Brian, I think Brian will be on board.
Okay. So then we'll go.
Aaron, fuck her.
Okay, so it's settled. Buffalo Wild Wings afterwards.
If it's actually close, it might not actually be. And also, we don't have to go there.
We'll have it on the website, MaximumFun.org, probably by the time you listen to this. But here's the other thing. We're also going to have meetups around the country. So go to the forum if you want to host a meetup. We're going to try and have some, like, cool stuff, you know, maybe like a video message from us. And
I'll Skype in.
You know, that kind of thing. But if you want to host a meetup wherever you live, post in the forum thread about it. And if we get two or three people that want to do it, then we'll put it on the official calendar for what theater you're going to be at and where you're going to have the meetup. And then we'll announce them on Jordan Jesse Go and on our other shows and et cetera, on Twitter all around. So we're hoping to, you know, at least get six or eight of these things all around the country and, you know, in places where we've had successful meetups. I know, you know, I was just in Minneapolis and we had 40, 45 people at that meetup. So I'm sure that there's a couple dozen people in Minneapolis and D.C. and other places, you know, Portland, where we've had huge meetups. And speaking of which, Jordan, you're going to be in Portland this weekend for Bridgetown.
Yeah, I am going to be at the Bridgetown Comedy Festival this weekend. I'm frantically trying to bring it up on my phone. I should have had my dates. Actually, Jesse, you have a computer there.
I got it here. Your meetup is April 13th at the Space Room Lounge. April 13th at the Space Room Lounge, and you can find all of the information at the Bridgetown website, or just go to Maximum, not for the meetup, but for Jordan's shows, or go to MaximumFun.org and click on the meetup in the live shows area to find out all the information for meeting up on Jordan's thing.
Yeah, please. I would love it if everyone would come to my comedy shows. I'm also be moderating a panel on Saturday afternoon. The meetup is Friday night. It's at a place called the Space Club.
Yeah, absolutely.
The Space Club Lounge. Friday night at 9, Space Club Lounge. That's the long and the short of it. Please come.
It looks like Jordan's on a show called Mystery Guest Thursday night. He's on the Humor Code Saturday afternoon.
That's the panel. And also taking place in that panel, you got a Pete Holmes, you got a Maria Bamford.
Oh, that's nice. And mm-hmm. then Saturday night, he's at the Tabor Lounge. So great lineup there. Go see Jordan. But May 10th, all over the country. Just post in the forum if you want to host a meetup. Say what theater you're going to and where you want to have the meetup afterwards. And we will recognize.
We should all meet at Buffalo Wild Wings across the country. I'm sure everyone has a Buffalo Wild Wings near their movie theater.
And Ian Edwards, it has just been a delight to have you on the program. Thank you so much for coming by and joining us.
My pleasure, man. A lot of fun, fellas.
Ian, you can catch him all around the country performing stand-up comedy. He is on.
Oh, yeah.
He is on Twitter at Ian Edwards Comic.
Yep.
And you can find him on the worldwide internet web. At IanEdwardsComedy.com, where you
comedian.com.
Excuse me, IanEdwardsComedian.com, where you can find his stand-up comedy dates and whatnot.
Website, all that shit.
It has been a delight. If you guys don't mind, I gotta hit Google real quick and watch some Lyricist Lounge clips. We'll be back next week on Jordan Jesse Go.
Everybody, check it out.